Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
So good to have you tuned in today. I'm Neil Stavem. Glad to be along with you. And today is going to be a great hour. Actually, we're going to open up the phone lines right away and give you a chance to get some good advice, which we always love to do. Practical advice and application, and just to encourage you in your faith, not only in your faith walk, but even in your physical health. And that's going to be our focus today. Ted, but before we get to the doctor,
yes.
The doctor's in today, by the
that's
way.
That's good.
So, all right.
We'll take those questions.
There's no waiting. But just want to say salute and praise God for opportunity. They're flipping the switch today in Bonaire. Bonaire is a little island down just off the coast of Venezuela. And Transworld Radio has an outreach there, and they've had a mission radio station broadcasting at 100,000 watts for a number of years. But today, they got a new transmitter installed, and they're flipping the switch up to 450,000 watts.
Oh, boy. That's really going to expand their reach in the country.
I mean, wow, that's something. It's going to – they're targeting Cuba, and it's going to just blanket Cuba and actually get into southern Florida probably, but Haiti and the Caribbean. Also, in the other way, Venezuela and getting way down into Brazil. So tremendous outreach at 800 a.m., Shine 800 a.m. in Bonaire. So hats off to Lauren Libby and the team at Transworld Radio.
Our prayers are with them in their ongoing efforts. Yeah.
Of course, our Faith Radio family and Northwestern Media family have been a part of that project because over the years we've helped raise some funds for that. So
You've even gotten to go and see a few of those sites.
I've been to Guam. I haven't been to Bonaire, so today would be a good day.
I'll assist you on that trip.
Sure, that's right. I think it's 80 and sunny or whatever. All right. Well, it's winter here. And this particular winter, has brought along with it, seems like, a little bit more of the flu and the colds. And, we're going to deal with that. What's the old saying? I mean, you open up the window in November and influenza. And here we are.
That's right. It seems like the strains are getting worse and worse, too. This will be good.
So we're going to find out about it today. We have a guest to answer your questions today who is in family medicine, practices in central Wisconsin, Dr. Kristen Whitaker. And as she says, I listen carefully to my patients' concerns and preferences and work together with them to make decisions about their care. And she's going to be our doctor of record today. Glad to have her on the line. She went to medical school at the University of Iowa and the residency at the University of Wisconsin and serves in Nawassa now. And so, Dr. Whitaker, welcome. Great to have you on.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you today.
So let's we're going to open up the phone lines and give our listeners an opportunity to ask some questions. Obviously, we'll be general. We're not going to be doing specific diagnoses today. But there are, lots of things that you might be wondering about in the area of health care and just personal health and well-being. 877-933-2484. Rachel's working the phones today, and you can just call her and get queued up and ready to go. 877-93-FAITH. Or you can make your, if you have a question, you can go online. If you go to myfaithradio.com, then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's a little email tab there, and just use that. It'll come right into the studio, and we'll get your questions addressed here today at myfaithradio.com, Connecting Faith, or 877-93-FAITH. So, Dr. Whitaker, I guess we probably want to start talking about the flu, because as all the reports we're hearing, worse than maybe expected, I guess. Maybe by way of introduction, I mean, what is it about winter that seems to bring on the colds and flu that we don't deal with the other time of the year?
Well, winter tends to bring some typical viruses around. Influenza is one of them. Respiratory syncytial virus in children, maybe toward February, March, April. It just happens to be the time of year that these things come around. Influenza does seem to be a little bit worse this year. The influenza viruses shift a little bit every year, and so the vaccine that was given this year is based on what was around last year and the previous year, and we don't always know what's coming, so we don't always get it exactly right. The vaccine this year is about 30-35% effective, which doesn't seem very good. However, It's better than nothing, because influenza can be fatal, as we know.
Well, and, you know, we've heard some reports about that, and sad reports. I mean, you know, young children.
Yes.
And, you know, I guess we've thought in terms maybe that it has affected elderly significantly. But what is it about flu that can lead to death?
Well, influenza is a respiratory virus. And for most of us who are generally healthy and, you know, teenagers through middle adulthood, our immune systems and our bodies are strong enough to fight it off. However, for the very young, you know, infants, young children, and older individuals, their immune systems aren't as good and their body's not as strong. The influenza virus causes a lot of inflammation in the lungs, which can lead to pneumonia, and sometimes it just becomes so overwhelming that it can be fatal.
Still time to get a flu shot, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Think they recommend that starting in October or so, but I mean, is so
yes.
the season goes till March or so or February?
Probably. It usually tends to be 18 to 20 weeks long, and it kind of peaks in the middle there. The CDC thinks that we're about in the middle, hopefully going over the top of the peak, but we're not quite sure just yet. So yes, there's still time to get a flu shot. And even if an individual doesn't think that they personally need it, if they're around older individuals or young people, they might just get the flu shot to protect those people around them from picking up on something that they could transmit to them.
And let's review. Is this transmitted by by touch? I mean, so door handles and all that, or how is it generally spread?
So generally by like respiratory, by coughing, but you know, if we cough into our hand and then we grab the door handle, then yes, it's transmitted that way too. So good hand washing, hand sanitizer, covering your cough if you do have one, those kinds of things are important.
Yes, is that the number one recommendation you have all winter long is just wash your hands, or maybe all
year
long?
It is all year long, but especially important this time of year.
Which, I don't know, you went to medical school, and that's, you know, it seems like wash your hands. I think, you know, you may be hoping for more complex answers, maybe.
You know, sometimes the simplest things are the most important. Washing your hands, getting enough sleep, exercising, things like that. Things that we already know to do.
Well, we'll get to that maybe, and why people come to see you when they come, you know, for a visit. What's the most common thing? But I mean, it is true, I guess, even in this time of year. So if you have a respiratory virus, if you've got flu, or maybe even a cold, are the remedies the same? I mean, lots of liquid, grandma's chicken noodle soup. What are some good solutions?
Those are all good things. For somebody who's been diagnosed with influenza, we will often give Tamiflu, which is an antiviral medication specifically for influenza. Sometimes if a person's already had influenza for a few days up to a week, the Tamiflu will not be effective. For regular coughs and colds, those are almost always viral, and in those instances, we try not to use antibiotics. Because an antibiotic will not work against a virus. For bacterial infections, like a sinus infection, that does warrant an antibiotic. But other than those kinds of things, good hand washing, getting good rest, plenty of water, grandma's chicken soup is great, and over-the-counter cough and cold medications do just fine. They don't cure the coughs and colds, but they do help with symptoms.
Which I guess is what the idea is. If we can cut the symptoms down, we can probably sleep a little better, right? That's as much as anything, right?
Yes. Yeah. Sleep better, manage during the day with household things or going to work or whatever. Yeah.
Dr. Kristen Whitaker is my guest today. She's in family medicine, family practice in central Wisconsin, joining us today. She's also part of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. And we're opening up the phones today just to take your calls. You may have some health questions. Love to have you joining the conversation. Just want to talk about good health. doing the best that we can to practice good health habits. So we'll get some of those. We'll talk about, you know, some of the major diseases that are out there. We'll get into vaccinations, how you can maybe have a better relationship with your doctor, your family practitioner. When should you go to the doctor? We'll get to that and more. If you have a question, give us a call. The phone lines are open at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And we're asking the doctor today, 877-93-FAITH, or you can send us a note going online to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. Use the email link there, and we'll get your questions coming up here in just a moment. Fitness and well-being today with Dr. Kristen Whitaker, practice family medicine in the Wausau, Wisconsin area. And she and her husband have three children, went to University of Iowa College of Medicine for medical school, and we're honored to have her with us today, part of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. And our phone lines are open to take your health-related questions at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. And Dr. Whitaker, I'm just curious, maybe you've been practicing for a number of years. What's the most common reason that patients come to see you? Maybe does it change from season to season? I assume this is cold and flu season, but what typically is the reason that they come?
You know, I probably have a couple different categories of common reasons why patients come to see me. The first is to follow up on chronic health conditions like high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, those kinds of things. The second might be depression and anxiety. And the third, probably acute illnesses, injuries, new aches and pains, those kinds of things. So it can vary from any of that day to day.
You know, we wouldn't think, I guess, that, you know, in a nation that has so many things going for it, that depression and anxiety would be such a large health concern, but it is really, it's a very big concern nationwide, isn't it?
It very much is, and I don't want to say that I'm amazed, but I am constantly intrigued by how common depression and anxiety are. I think living in our world today is it's a very stressful thing. We have pressures coming at us from all different angles, and even as a believer in Jesus Christ, it's hard to live in this world, and depression and anxiety are common.
Are there, is this one area that, sometimes we over-spiritualize and say, well, you know, if you just prayed more, this wouldn't be a problem, and obviously there's, you know, God has gifted men and women like you to help lead us in what makes our bodies work better, but are there some things that we could do to avoid or lessen the impact of, you know, issues like depression and anxiety?
Yeah, you know, it is more than just praying more or reading your Bible more. Some people really are just wired that way, whether it's a family history or just a biological bent toward more depression or anxiety. Some of us are in circumstances, whether we're grieving the loss of someone or something like a job, or we just have a hard life for whatever reason. We also have the pressures around us with, you know, all the technology, all the push to live a fast-paced life. Those things are difficult to do. And some things that we can do to address this, certainly if you have family members who have had depression and have been on medication, see your doctor. Medication does help, and sometimes that's all a person needs. You know, if a person has high blood pressure, they ought to be on medication for that. If they have diabetes, they ought to be working on that as well, often with medication, and sometimes that's what's needed for depression. Other things that we can do overall, getting good sleep at night. A lot of us don't get enough sleep. Getting exercise on a regular basis, not that we have to train for a marathon, but even just getting out in the sun and going for a walk is helpful, and eating right, making sure that we're giving our bodies the nutrition that it needs.
Well, we're trying to convince people here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area that we do get out and enjoy winter. It's all bold north now for all the Super Bowl people. We, you know, it's, you know, we're all going to go back in our cocoons as soon as they all leave town. But for now, we're out there and engaged. We're going to take a call in a moment. But I do have a question. You talk about, you know, medications, seeing your doctor. You know, sometimes you wonder, you know, do all the new medications that get advertised, you know, really help people? It seems kind of scary to take them with all the warnings that they announce, you know, may cause, you know, death or, I mean, just any. The list of warnings is longer than the benefits of the drugs. How do you kind of keep track of all that?
You know, honestly, it's hard to keep track of it. And sometimes a patient will come to me and tell me what they saw on TV and what they'd like to try. And I have to back up a little bit and do some research. Many new medications that are out right now have a predecessor that's already been used, that's generic, and what's out that's new on the market is kind of a new and improved sort of thing. And we tend not to jump right into using those things unless we really have a need to. But it does take a lot to stay on top of those things.
All right. Our phone lines are open today. Dr. Kristen Whitaker is my guest. She's family medicine and family practice. We're taking your health questions at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Eric is calling in from Bemidji with a question for Dr. Whitaker. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, hi there. I'm a diabetic, and I'm trying to learn to better control my blood sugar spikes and stuff like that. The one that I can't figure out is why it is that when I eat beef in particular, my blood sugar really seems to spike. I don't have anything of that would raise my blood sugar other than that usually when I eat it. So I'm just trying to figure out what the story is on that.
All right. Good question. What do you think, Dr. Whitaker?
That is a good question. And I don't know exactly why beef would necessarily do that either unless you're eating it with a rich sort of sauce or something.
Hmm.
But it would be worth keeping track of your blood sugars. And you probably already are doing that, Eric, but keeping track of your blood sugars and what you're eating to see if there's any more pattern than that.
And I guess what all of us have, I mean, our blood sugar levels are changing every day and kind of different times of day, right? And if we were probably more aware of it, we could probably eliminate the risk of diabetes, right?
To some extent. Some of us have a risk for that anyway, just because of our family history or sometimes our weight. But yes, our blood sugars do vacillate throughout the day, moment by moment, depending on when we ate last, what we're doing, and whatnot.
That has become one of the pretty significant diseases across our nation, right? We think about, I guess, heart disease and cancer, but diabetes is certainly right up there, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
In terms of maybe some of those major diseases, is there one that seems to have maybe a greater impact on our healthcare system overall, or where you see it going in the years ahead?
You know, I think if there was one condition that I could help people the most turn around, it would probably be obesity, because that is linked to so many other health conditions like diabetes, like hypertension, like high cholesterol, like worn-out joints, knee pain and hip pain. And if we were able to limit obesity, those other conditions, heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, those would all get better. And sometimes that's a difficult thing to do, but for a lot of individuals, they kind of know already what they need to do. Sometimes it's just hard to do it.
Are you, as a doctor, are you able to sort of tell us to do what we already know that we should do? I mean, I guess that's probably pretty common, right? We come to get a diagnosis or even a physical, and, you know, you're going to tell us what we knew even before we went there. But does it make a difference if you tell us, or is it part about maybe giving some follow-up or some take-home assignments, or what's effective?
It's different for everybody depending on where they're at as far as their motivation to change. So I have patients that I've seen for years who haven't made changes even though they know they need to. And then one day, seemingly out of the blue, they decide they're going to do something about their condition. For other individuals, they come in the first time and they're already ready to make a change, and they just need a little nudge to do that. It really does depend on where the individual's at in their readiness and their awareness of the problem.
Dr. Kristen Whitaker with us today, and our phone lines are open for your calls, talking health and wellness today at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And maybe it's something about a concern that you have or something for your family, and you just like to get some good medical advice and insight. Dr. Whitaker, when we see our doctor, do you find that maybe we forget things or we don't share as much as we should? What would you recommend when we've made an appointment finally and we're coming to see you?
I would recommend lots of people like to bring in a list, which is great. Sometimes there's too much on the list that we can actually address in a visit. However, I forget things too, and so writing things down on a list and bringing that with you is important. The other thing I find people often forget is that when we ask about medications, they tend to think only of the prescribed medications and not of the vitamins and the supplements that they might be taking that they don't put in the medication category, but it's still something that goes into them that can affect the way their medications work or their health. And those would be important things to write down as well.
And I think, we probably don't realize that, everything, I mean, our bodies are finely tuned, right? And so one adjustment here, I mean, a vitamin, a good thing, but it could, paired with a medication, could make a difference.
That's correct.
All right, we're taking your health questions today. Family practitioner, Dr. Kristen Whitaker. She's part of Christian Medical and Dental Association, has a degree from the University of Iowa College of Medicine, practices in the Wausau area in family medicine. Professional interests include travel medicine and cares for men, women, and children in our practice. And we'd love to have you join the conversation at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. In just a moment, we'll take a little break and come back. We'll talk about Dr. Whitaker and her faith and maybe how that intersects in her work as a physician. We'll get to that and more. If you have a question, join us at 877-93-FAITH, or you can submit your question online if you go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page and use the email tab there and submit your question. We'll get to more in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned. Talking good health today and thanking God for the way that he's, knit us together. We are truly fearfully and wonderfully made. And Dr. Kristen Whitaker has been studying and helping us stay healthy for years. She's in family practice in the Wausau area, has a degree at the University of Iowa, and did her residency at the University of Wisconsin. She's one of us. So we love having her on with us to take your questions on health, the related issues at 877-93-FAITH. And we're going to go to Ashley, who's calling in from Otsego. Ashley, go ahead with your question for Dr. Whitaker.
Hi, thanks for having me on today. One of my questions is, as a Christian practitioner, a healthcare professional, how do you see your health and your faith intersect?
Good question.
Can I just ask a clarification
sure.
question of Ashley?
Sure.
Are you talking, Ashley, about me personally or just in general about a Christian health and faith?
Yeah, kind of, you know, as Christians, we're called to live differently in every area of our lives. You know, we're called to steward our money and our resources differently and to care for our children differently. And how do you see that? How do you see your faith and the medical professional health? How do you see that kind of come together? And do you see health as a spiritual issue or is it something separate? Where does your faith play a role in your medical profession?
All right.
Sure. For me personally, it was God that got me into the medical profession, and I see him at work every day in my workplace here. I am privileged to be able to pray with patients and encourage them spiritually if that's where the conversation and the relationship that we have leads us. I'm also thankful that I can still put some scripture verses up on my walls here in my office, which is really a blessing. I know that as Christians, we still live in the world and our bodies get frail and worn down. And you know, for some of us, our health is part of our struggle living here in the world, whether it's arthritis or cancer or whatnot, and the Holy Spirit can use those things to draw us closer to Him. For others, our health is an area where maybe we need to attend a little more to being good stewards of our bodies so that the Lord can use us to serve Him in effective ways. You know, I see health and faith going together very closely. I don't know if that's the kind of answer you're looking for.
No, that's good. I think, and we, you know, sometimes I guess we hear about extreme cases where people, ignore one exclude one to the promotion of another, and obviously there's
right.
Balance in life.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I think the field of medicine and faith really go hand in hand, and I would hate to see one excluded over the other.
Let's take another call. Rochelle is calling in from Wyoming. Rochelle, go ahead with your question for Dr. Whitaker.
Hi, I have dry eyes and I can't get insurance for this, and was wondering if there's some home remedies I could do for dry eyes.
That is a good question. I am not personally aware of a home remedy. Dr. Google might be, although I don't know if I would recommend that. but I know there are lots of over-the-counter.
Is that where you go for all your medical advice, Dr. Google?
No.
Okay, good.
No,
right.
I do not. And I wouldn't recommend that either.
Yeah.
But I know there are lots of good options over-the-counter that you can buy at your local drugstore to help with dry eyes. And speaking with a pharmacist at one of those places would probably be a good place to start.
I'm sure you probably experienced some frustrations from time to time. I mean, as this listener said, insurance doesn't cover this or allow this. I mean, that has become one of the real big drivers in the healthcare profession, hasn't it? That insurance decides what we can get treated for.
Yes, it's very true. And it's very frustrating, whether it's for the kinds of visits they'll pay for or even medications sometimes. We find that often we have to keep switching even a blood pressure medication because one month they might cover one thing and the next month they don't.
Curious, I know I've heard that, you know, with insurance coverages kind of change, maybe we go to see our doctor about a routine visit or a physical, but in the process we ask a question about something else, which bumps it into a different category, and then maybe insurance doesn't cover that. Do you encounter that, and is that something that, you know, you have to sort of work with your patients, say, I can talk about this, but not about that?
To some extent, insurance companies, and they have categorized things this way for years, for as long as I've been in practice. There's a designation between preventive visits and problem-focused visits. And preventive visits might include your visit for your physical, pap smear, just checking your blood pressure, maybe looking over some routine blood work to look at your cholesterol, those kinds of things. once a problem is diagnosed, like your high blood pressure is diagnosed, or your diabetes, or your arthritis, those things fall under problem-focused visits. Many insurance companies will cover both kinds of visits in the same day, but some insurance companies don't. And I know for folks who are on Medicare, if they do not have a supplemental insurance, sometimes that gets to be a problem. It's worth talking to your physician or talking to your insurance company about that, because everybody's insurance is just a little bit different.
All right, we'll get back to some listener questions. By the way, our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. Taking your health questions today for Dr. Kristen Whitaker, part of the Christian Medical and Dental Association, and doing family practice in the central Wisconsin with us today. So a listener wants to know, is not able to get a colonoscopy because of getting sick from the liquid. Are there alternatives to colonoscopies?
That is a great question. There are. Sometimes there are different preps that a gastroenterologist could give to help you get cleaned out in advance of that procedure. There is a newer test out now called a Cologuard test, which is also a screening test for colon cancer. It's a stool test that you would do right in your own home. It doesn't require that clean out ahead of time. It gets sent back in, and it's good for 3 years. What it does is it looks for the DNA of cancer cells or precancer cells in your stool, and if it's positive, then it would likely necessitate having a colonoscopy. But if it's negative, that test could just be done every 3 years. And that's, at this point in time, that's a good alternative for a lot of people.
That's one of those tests that just ought to be taken as a matter of routine. Are there others sort of in that category that, you know, if you you know, put this on your list and do it no matter what in terms of, you know, tests or, you know, treatments that should be done at different stages?
Mm-hmm. Yes, a colonoscopy or colon cancer screening, mammograms for women, and at some point everybody should have their cholesterol checked. You know, for men, we used to talk about the PSA or prostate cancer screening. That's fallen a little bit out of favor right now, but that's something that an individual should really talk to their own physician about.
Okay. Donna had a question about the new shingles vaccine. It says if someone's already had the old shingles vaccine, do they need a new one?
That's a good question, too, and I just read about this morning. It is indicated to go ahead and get the new vaccine. The new vaccine is called Shingrix. I don't know if it's actually available yet. I think it is. And it is advised that even if you have had the previous Zostavax vaccine, the new shingles vaccine would be a good idea to still also get.
And is there a kind of an age range where this is important to get, or I mean, if you've never had it?
The former Zostavax vaccine was only indicated for age 60 and older. The newer vaccine is now for ages 50 and over.
And as I understand, people that have had it would say, do anything you can to get that vaccine, right, as opposed to deal with shingles.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So a listener, anonymous listener, 70 years old, for the last 5 years, knee joints have been creaking. What can I do about that?
Well, if just creaking and not painful, sometimes we recommend glucosamine over-the-counter, glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate. That's an easy thing that can be done that might be helpful. It's not helpful for everybody, but sometimes it just helps lubricate those joints a little bit. The other thing that's a good thing to do is just to get some exercise. And again, it doesn't have to be fancy exercise, even just walking or perhaps joining a low-impact aerobics-type class. If you have a local place you can go to do that, any sort of activity to keep your muscles, your hips, your knees strengthened and stretched out is a good thing for your joints.
Do you find yourself, I mean, I don't know what experience was in terms of in medical school and residency, but is the awareness of, you know, things like maybe supplements becoming much more integral part of your training? And as you diagnose and talk, is that something that has been a part of what you recommend and advise?
When I was in medical school back in the early 90s, it really was not something that we talked a lot about. However, over the years, as I've been in practice, I think most of my colleagues and I have gotten much better educated about supplements and herbal things and whatnot, because people really do use them a good deal. And some of them do have interactions with traditional medication. Some don't, but it's really important for us to be aware of those things.
Taking your calls today with Dr. Kristen Whitaker at 877-93-FAITH. Another question for us before we take a little break. Can people develop allergies later in life, or are you just born with them? And it does seem like more and more children have various allergies, and certainly we're much more aware of, like, you know, gluten and some of those things. What's your sense of what's happening in the world of allergies?
That is hard to say. I would agree with the caller that there do seem to be more allergies, certainly more awareness of allergies, and there are some individuals who do seem to develop allergies as they get older. As to why that's happening, I think there are lots of theories out there. I don't know if I could pinpoint any one particular one, but it does seem to be true.
We're going to take a quick little break, and we're going to come back, and we've got Dr. Whitaker to stick with us for the remainder of the hour, and so it's an opportunity for you to get your questions answered as we talk health and wellness today. Dr. Kristen Whitaker in family practice in the Wausau area joining us here on Connecting Faith. The phone number is 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or again, if you want to submit a question online, if you go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page, you can use the email link there. And so when we come back, we'll take more of your questions. We talk a little bit about, you know, antibiotics. Are we prescribing them too much? What are some of the growing health concerns here we're facing in 2018? Maybe get into vaccinations and more, all that just ahead. Talking today with Dr. Kristen Whitaker in a family medicine practice in central Wisconsin, and has been a member of the Christian Medical and Dental Association for a number of years, and her faith and family are important to her. She's married with three children, and we're honored to have her with us today on Connecting Faith as we talk health and well-being. You know, I think we touched a little bit about influenza and colds, but have we come to the place where there's any remedy for the common cold yet, Kristen?
There is not. There are so many viruses that cause the common cold. I don't think we'll ever have a remedy for it, unfortunately.
So, again, probably what? Lots of liquids, wash your hands, same as the general.
Yeah. Trying to keep yourself healthy in general.
All right. Well, there are times when it seems like antibiotics, if there's something that antibiotics can treat, that is one of the best things out there. But are we concerned that we maybe prescribe too much of those?
We are, actually. There's been a push for physicians to prescribe fewer antibiotics, because really we had been over-prescribing. And primarily we would prescribe for viral things that would not even respond to an antibiotic, often because of, you know, a viral infection might look like a bacterial infection. Really, there are a lot of common cold sorts of illnesses that don't need an antibiotic. We are finding that we are developing resistance to a lot of antibiotics, and that's causing some problems. There are more, I guess you could call them superbugs out there, more infections that are causing serious problems. And some of the antibiotics that we have now are not working as well as they used to.
But, you know, think about, you know, things like maybe a prednisone who has some side effects, but it really is kind of a wonder drug for what it can do. Or are there other, I mean, antibiotics, I guess, were kind of that for generations too, weren't they?
Sure. Prednisone is an anti-inflammatory that we use for inflammation of different sorts, whether it's asthma or COPD or even sometimes arthritis or gout. And it's a powerful drug, too. It works in a different way than an antibiotic. That still seems to be effective for those kinds of things.
So are there kind of new things on the horizon that you're seeing that say, boy, this really has amazing impact? I mean, the results are positive all the time in terms of maybe medications?
As far as antibiotics, I know that they are always working to develop new things, but it does take time, and sometimes the bacteria change before we can get on top of them. As far as other categories of medications, I know there are always new things coming out for all kinds of conditions.
You know, speaking of changes, my son and family moved across the country, and so I'm interested in, you know, wondering how what you recommend in finding a new family doctor as they were in that process. When, you know, are all the quote-unquote good doctors filled up with their patient load? How do you go about, if you're moving to a new community or need to change your doctor, what should you be looking for?
Sure. Well, you know, to look for one, first I'd just try to research what's out there for an option. Some ways you can do that, you know, get on the Internet. Perhaps if you're looking specifically for a Christian doctor, you could go to the Christian Medical and Dental Association website. They do have an area on that site where you can look for a Christian physician in your zip code area. Another thing you can do is just simply ask around. If people are happy with the physician they see, they'd love to tell you about it. So whether you're going to the gas station or the library or whatnot, just maybe ask some questions. The other thing you could do would be if there's a hospital in town, sometimes they have a list of physicians that could be recommended. Those are all some good ways to start.
What do you do to, and maybe it goes both ways, but in terms of building trust and keeping a strong relationship with your patients? I mean, that, you know, we're the industry is not quite the same anymore. It's a pretty market-driven, you know, and insurance-focused. So talk about relationships with patients.
You know, even though the industry is still market-driven, as you say, the relationship is still about time and communication and just face-to-face trust. And what I do is try to get to know the patient as best I can, develop some rapport, and listen.
And can you do that in the allotted time? That's always kind of a concern, isn't it? Will we actually have time with our physician, or maybe we abuse that time by asking too many questions or too many topics.
Sometimes. You know, I find there's time. I make the time for that. And once a good relationship is developed, if down the road there's a day when I really have to cut a visit short, the patient understands because they know that I have developed a relationship with them. And they know that there's somebody else that I need to attend to that day.
Got a few minutes left. We'll get to a couple other questions. But I was just thinking before we go, I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, maybe it's review the common sense best practices for good health habits. But if you could put a list together for 2018, say, you know, if you would do this or don't do that, you've got a better chance for good health in the new year.
Yeah, the things on my list would be basic things that I'm sure most listeners have heard already. Get good sleep at night. Most of us don't get enough sleep. Get out and exercise a little bit. Get outside in the sun. Drink plenty of water. A lot of us don't drink enough water. Maybe we're substituting coffee or soda or whatever. We just need more water. And eat right. I think if those basic things that really most of us can do and already know we should do, if we could focus on those things, we'd probably all be a little bit healthier.
You mentioned getting out in the sun. There's been maybe renewed awareness about things like vitamin E, vitamin D, certainly in wintertime here in the upper Midwest, and, you know, even Hartford deals with that. Say a little bit about, like, vitamin D, maybe what we're finding out about that and how important that might be.
Yeah, vitamin D is it's very important for health of your bones. A lot of people who live in northern states, because of the lack of sunlight during the winter months, do tend to be deficient in that. And for many people, taking a vitamin D supplement is a good idea. 800 to 1,000 international units every day. Some people need more than that, but it's quite a reasonable thing to do.
Is that one of the challenges that maybe, you know, we tend to overdo? Say, well, if 500 milligrams of vitamin C would be good, we'll do 1,000 or 2,000. Do you deal with that from time to time?
Sometimes, yes. With vitamin C, because it's water-soluble, it tends to just go out of your body through your urine. But there are some other vitamins that if you get too much, it can be a problem. Vitamin A. Actually, vitamin B, for people who get too much, it can cause a little bit of anxiety. And so you don't want to overdo it with that if you don't need to. And then the fat-soluble vitamins. Vitamins A, D, E, and K, those you can get too much of also. Generally, though, for folks in the northern states, the vitamin D issue, most of us are a little bit deficient, so that it's not something that I would worry about.
If your doctor has a poor bedside manner, should you just let the doctor know or switch doctors?
I think that would
be... And you maybe don't have to... You could answer that anonymously, maybe. No.
Sure. that would be up to your comfort level.
Okay. Dr. Whitaker, great to have you on with us today. We're grateful to have the connection. Again, you mentioned the Christian Medical and Dental Association. You're part of that organization. And, of course, people can check that out, not only for a list of doctors in their area, but the other resources they got going on, and a great mm-hmm. way to just keep aware of some of the concerns among medical professionals in the country. It's cmda.org. And appreciate you coming on today, Dr. Whitaker.
Thank you so much. I really have enjoyed this.
Dr. Kristen Whitaker is in the family medicine, the Wausau, Wisconsin area, joining us today here on the Connecting Faith. And thank you for your calls. If you want to listen to the show again, or pass it on to a friend, everything's shareable. We post the interviews up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Just go to Connecting Faith, and you'll find the interview. We'll post that here after the show and listen to it again. Dr. Kristen Whitaker joining us today, giving us some good insight on health and fitness. And by the way, you want to get fit and make a difference? We've got the Live Free Challenge coming up here in February, which is like what, Tez, are we one day away from February?
Yeah, one more.
Okay,
January.
All right, sorry. You can still sign up, though. We're going to invite you to join with us as we walk, run, and ride to raise money for rescue and rehabilitation of traffic victims. The Live Free Challenge, it's an initiative to support the work of International Justice Mission in freeing children, women, and men from human trafficking. And our goal with your help is to sponsor the equivalent of 10 rescue missions this coming year. It's an important goal, but it's going to make a big difference. Use opportunity to get healthy for the world's great needs. So find out more at livefreechallenge.org. That's livefreechallenge.org. Or you can go to our website. We've got a link there as well. And invite you to join us tomorrow as we talk with Mark Gregson about leaving a legacy of hope. It's a word to grandparents on tomorrow's Connecting Faith. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.